Heavenly Father, truly, even in this even time, we feel that you in our midst, as we have sung. Lord, guide us with your hand. Father, and as we expound on your holy word and digest it, Father, let it conform, let it move us, and let it form us. Let us be conformed to it and not try and put it in a box, or let us not try to manipulate it in any way, O God. Keep us, Father, in your hand. And as we anticipate a blessing, Lord, we ask that you would be with us, that you would be with those hurting, that you would be with those searching, that you would be found to those, and also, Father, that you would heal those in pain. We look to you for strength, Heavenly Father, and we ask all these favors in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. With the Lord's help, I'd like to meditate together, if you would, out of the Gospel of Luke. Let's read Luke 8, beginning with Luke 8, beginning with verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. That's the end of the reading we desire this evening. Let us bow to the Lord in prayer. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky, it's o'ershadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? For each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. And Jesus' response, The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still. In this account, Jesus takes the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee. And these aren't novice maritime men. They're fishermen. They're used to battling tough weather. Sometimes you catch the most fish in gloomy or tough weather. So the fact that their fear was confounded and the fear overcame them, so much so that it wasn't a bother to wake up Jesus. Just let him sleep. He's been talking all day and healing. Just let him sleep. The thought is, no, we're taking on water. Water is coming into our boat. And torrents of sin and of anguish are sweeping over our sinking soul. And their thought is that they perish. They perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. This evening, this scripture impressed upon my heart not necessarily the account of Jesus calming the sea. But as over the past days been meditating on these short 3-4 verses, the portion of this scripture that the Spirit impressed upon me is this question. What manner of man is this? See, this word manner has a few meanings. It can mean a way. It means customs, habits, a sort. What sort of man is this? Or what is this? What kind of man is this? And I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe it's Peter that's asking this question, and it's rooted in mystery. The disciples have been with Jesus for some time, seeing some miracles. But this question of what manner of man is this is full of confusion and bewilderment. And they're perplexed. They don't know what to do, or they can't wrap their minds around who this Jesus is. This man that told them to simply follow me as they were mending their nets. And then he tells them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. What did that mean? Surely they didn't understand what that calling would entail. As they're taking thread and twine and tying knots and mending holes in their nets. But what manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey him? We go back a few chapters in Luke 5. And if we think about this question rooted in fear, it says that they were sore afraid. It's this realization that this Jesus is bigger than what we thought. This man is not the man that we originally thought he was. And he's growing into this being that we don't know what to do with. And when you see nature and creation do his beckoning will, that shook these fishermen. Because if nature is obeying your word, that's something of the divine. That's not of this world. And if they're linking together Jesus' divinity, the magnitude of who this Christ is before him on a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee is becoming real. They're met face to face with a power that they've never experienced. They've met face to face with a man they've never met. You and I, as we walk down the street, we go in at the mall or wherever we go, we make thousands of decisions a minute. As we're passing people, you might see a person. Is that person happy? Is he sad? Is that person dangerous? Should I be fearful? Does that person need help? All of these subconscious decisions and analyses are happening in our mind. But we know what to do in a specific type of situation. When it's time to run, we run. If we're in a dangerous situation, but the apostles, their disciples, don't know what to do. And the question, what manner of man is this? It's the only thing Peter could spit out. And in fear, this question is rooted because he's face to face with an element of the divine. And if we read in Luke 5, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That's another name for the Sea of Galilee. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You see, going out into the ship, going out into the water in the ship would help his voice project to help preach and teach to the people. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He told Simon Peter, let's go a little bit further and let's see what we can catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners. Remember, there was two ships out there, which were in the other ship that should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Simon Peter was met with the divine. This man who controls the fish of the Sea of Galilee is now standing once again in his boat. And he's saying, Peter, we've been in this situation before where I do the unexpected. Peter, where is your faith? O ye of little faith, don't you know that where I am is sure? Where I am is a strong tower. You are in my care, Peter. And I am the manner of man who is full of love for you. The Pharisees also asked what kind of man Jesus was. Just a chapter before in Luke 7, there's a woman who anoints the feet of Jesus. And her love and her faith in who he was, resulted in Jesus saying, in verse 48 of chapter 7, thy sins are forgiven. And truly there was many around. And in 49, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? You see, this is a manner of man who forgives. Jesus is a manner of man who forgives sin. He's also a manner of man who Isaiah 53 says will suffer for us, will be bruised for us, will bear our transgressions. What manner of man is this that bears the transgressions of sinful mankind? For only a little faith. Jesus also asks, "Who do men say that I am? A prophet? Elijah? Nowadays, a good person? A teacher? Someone whose words sound good, but to devote my life to, that's probably too much to ask of me." But when you're met with the divine, as Peter was, when all pride is gone, and all self is washed away, I'll tell you who Jesus is. I'll tell you what manner of man this is. This manner of man is the bread of life. He is the I am. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. He is the vine. He is He. He is the one who was bruised for our transgressions and took on our iniquity. And in the most bold statement, Christ says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Do you know the power of that statement alone? That Jesus Christ, while a man here on earth, told the people, "Before Abraham was," not "I was," but "I am." That "I am" statement is a statement exclusively for God. For God Himself. Because do you remember when Moses was going to go before the people? And he was nervous and he didn't know what he should say. And he said, "Who should I say sent me?" Do you know what God said? "The I am. The I am sent you, Moses." It's a statement that doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have a middle. And it doesn't have an end. This is the manner of man this is. He is the I am. And He is asking us to believe that He is the I am. The question that was asked, "What manner of man is this?" also provides a pivoting point, or a fork in the road, or a turning point. You see, asking that question, there's a realization that He's not like the others. Otherwise, they would know what manner of man He is. There's an awe. There's an awesomeness. There's a holiness associated with that question and an acknowledgement of His power, one that has done something I've never seen before. And there's an acceptance, a realization of His deity. Being one that even nature obeys. Job speaks of this in chapter 12. You could turn with me to Job 12, verse 7, if you'd like. I'd like to read a few verses here. And if you want to know what manner of man this is, Job kind of answers it right here. Job 12:7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? There's not a question mark there. That's a declarative statement. Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth tastes meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down. It cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. This is the manner of man this is. This is the manner of man, the Creator of all things. Do you think it was hard for him to stop the rain, the driving rain, or the thunder, or the lightning? Was it easy for him to calm the wind and to ease the sea? Is it easier for him to do that, or is it easier for him to change a soul? One lost, but now found. It's all easy for the I am. But we, as Peter, needed to be willing to humble ourselves, to submit to the I am, to submit to the manner of man that he is. The fact that he's fully man and wholly God is the only way he was able to calm those seas. It's the only way that he was able to declare himself the I am. It's the only way that he was able to make the statement that before Abraham was, I am. It's all-encompassing Jesus Christ being fully man and wholly God. So much so that I love Job. He's asking us to go and talk to the birds. Look at nature. Ask the earth, and the earth will tell you. Why? Because the earth was created by his words, by his voice. And yet his prized possession is the one that asks, why, Lord? Not so. Nay, Lord, not today. I'm sorry, Lord, not now. Oh, how much that hurts our Father heart. Here's why. 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 1. When we disobey, here's why it grieves and it hurts the Father heart. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What manner of man is this? This manner of love. That's what manner of man this is. He is the one that authored love. He is the one that formed it. that created it, and that showers it upon us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. My brother and sister, that title, the son and daughter of God, that was purchased with a price. And that price was so much more valuable that sometimes the fleeting things that glitter that we chase, and then we end up forgetting that we're a child of the Most High God. Did God love us because we're something special? Because we're pretty? Because we're unique? God loves us because He created us. And when we stray, and when we wander, what does He do? He sends His Son. He sends the one to calm the seas. The one that created the storms and the processes of which the world receives water. He sends Him to calm them. Jesus knows what to do. He knew what to do in that boat on the Sea of Galilee. And if He knew what to do back then, He knows what to do today. Because calming the sea is an easy thing. And calming the storms in our life, when we turn to Him in full faith, is not too hard. Scripture says that the arm of the Lord is not short. His ear is not deaf. It is not hard of hearing when His people cry out in repentance, in humbleness, humility. The Lord is there, just as He was, calming the sea that evening. What manner of love? The beautiful thing about Jesus is that Jesus shows us what God is capable of doing. God is capable of being a part of creation, bridging the gap between the uncreated and the created, the sinful and the unsinful. And what we might think is impossible is always possible with God. Jesus shows us what humanity will be like in new creation also. The scripture in 1 John 3. If we read the next verse, John writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Is there anything more loving than God telling those faithful, "You will be as I. You will have a glorified body as mine. We will be singing praises forevermore. And you'll be basking in my glory. You also will have glory and beauty in and of yourself. But my glory will shine throughout. It will light up eternity. And when He returns, we will be resurrected with Him." What a beautiful thought. We can identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection here in baptism. but then to actually be resurrected. What manner of love? And what manner of man? It's a beautiful song, just as the first one to begin the service recorded. What manner of man is this who tires as soon as I? What manner of man is this, this man that I've seen cry when his friend faced death, but with his next breath raised him yet alive? What manner of man is this whom winds and seas obey? What kind of man is this who teaches how to pray like we've never known, to go before the throne of the Father on high? What manner of man is this who stands out from the crowd? What kind of man is this before whom a father bows and with sorrowed voice makes the humble choice to beg his daughter's life? What manner of man is this who makes a blind man see and frees an outcast soul from his leprosy, takes a laughing stock, and then makes him walk just like you and me? He is Jesus, King of all creation. He is Jesus, Lord of all nations, bound up in humanness, needing food, sleep, and rest, fully man, yet holy God. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this who stands in Pilate's hall while screaming crowds insist he die and suffer all? What kind of man is this, suspended between earth and heaven, in blood and agony, so I could be forgiven? What manner of man is this? What manner of God is this? What manner of God is this that he offers you and me forgiveness? Forgiveness from our sins. It's free, my soul, outside of Christ. Don't delay, because we don't know what storm is coming our way, or the next challenge, or what we'll face, or if we're guaranteed tomorrow. But start with the question of who Jesus is. And ask yourself, what manner of man is this? May the Lord bless his word upon our hearts.
As I was listening to this sermon, I was thinking upon the example of Jesus forgiving the sins of one who was sick of the palsy, one who was paralyzed, could not walk. And there was no room in the house where Jesus was. We know the story well, that four men picked him up and took him on the rooftop, broke the roof down, and broke the roof open, and let the man down into the house where Jesus was. And when Jesus saw their faith, it says, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." That's the first thing that Jesus told this man who was sick of the palsy, who was paralyzed. He didn't right away tell him to take up his bed and walk, but instead he did the more important thing, the more powerful thing. He forgave his sins. And it says that they were there, certain of the scribes, and they were reasoning in their hearts, and they said, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? For who can forgive sins but God only?" Completely rejecting Jesus and who he was. And they were murmuring, but it says that Jesus immediately perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. And he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise, take up thy bed and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. He's showing it's not just telling someone that their sins are forgiven. He has power to do so. He showed his power by telling the man who was paralyzed, take up thy bed and walk, showing he does have the power not only to heal a sickness of the flesh, but also to heal the greater sickness, the sickness of sin. He can forgive sins and heal, cleanse from all unrighteousness, far greater than just simply telling someone to take up their bed and walk. So once we know who Jesus is, what manner of man this is, as the focus was this evening, once we recognize who this man is, what is our response to this man? It says here in the story that we read, when Jesus commanded the winds and the water, it says that the disciples, they were afraid. It says, they being afraid, and they wondered, saying, what manner of man is this? The same account in Mark's gospel said that they feared exceedingly. And they said unto one another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the seas obey him. They feared exceedingly. They had godly fear. We can equate godly fear to reverence. Giving him reverence for who he is. A godly fear. God wants us to serve him with reverence and with godly fear. Recognizing that, yes, he does have the power to forgive sins, but he also has the power to tell us to go somewhere we don't want to go throughout all eternity. A place that he has prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. He has the power to send us there as well. He has the power to forgive us. So what is our response to this man, this manner of man? Do we worship him acceptably with reverence and with godly fear, recognizing that our lives are open before him? There's nothing hidden from him. There's nothing about our life that we can hide from him. And he just doesn't want us to try to hide anything from him. He just simply says, come. Come to me and I will give you rest. I will take your burdens and put them upon myself. I'll take your sins and put them upon myself. Jesus is saying, I have the power to forgive your sins. I have the power to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's look to him. Let's look to Jesus, the only one who has the power to forgive our sins. May God bless his word this evening upon our hearts. Amen.